and shoes.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. A British member of parliament wants Prime Minister David Cameron to go to bat for a Muslim family that was barred from a flight to the U.S. Mohammed Tariq Mahmoud says a British immigration official told him that U.S. officials cited a problem with his travel authorization.
We need to check our passports, and comes back after 5 minutes and says they've had a phone call from a Muslim from D.C. So and we asked him, what's the problem? I mean, we've got our ASDAs and stuff. So he goes, no, your ASDAs have been declined. No further reason was given.
The two adult brothers and their 9 children were in a passenger lounge at London's Gatwick Airport last week when they were told they would not be allowed on the flight to Los Angeles. They say they were not given any reason for not being allowed to travel to the U.S. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is calling for reform in the Federal Reserve. In an op-ed in the New York Times, Sanders says the Fed has been hijacked by the bankers it's supposed to regulate. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Many of our religious freedoms have been threatened here in the U.S. in recent years, but very few of us can imagine what it must be like for Christians suffering under severe persecution for their faith. Will Stark of International Christian Concern is one of those you can often hear giving us the latest information on those persecuted for being a Christian.
Take time to remember your persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Christmas can be a very joyous time for many people around the world, and in some places it can actually be a very scary time. For example, I was just talking to some of our brothers and sisters in Pakistan who have been receiving bomb threats for their Christmas celebrations. So I just ask that, you know, Christians around the world, as they're enjoying the normal Christmas holiday, that they at least take one moment to pray for their persecuted brothers and sisters and to really remember the privilege that we all have to be able to express our religion freely here in the United States.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
To the panel that Malik and Syed Farouk's application met all the requirements for her to receive that fiancé visa and that officials thoroughly vet every such application. House Judiciary Committee Ranking Member Democrat John Conyers criticizing Goodlatte, saying he's reached several conclusions not supported by the facts. Farouk and Malik killed 14 people in a December 2nd terror attack at a social services center in San Bernardino. They were killed in a shootout with police a short time later. In Washington, for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Presidential candidate Rand Paul is taking Festivus seriously. He's taking to Twitter to air his grievances in the Festivus tradition. In one tweet, Paul pointed to Marco Rubio's absence from Congress. He said he didn't put Rubio's salary in his waste report, but he could have. With regards to Trump, he says if Trump uses Yiddish, he should know what it means. Trump has caught criticism for using a vulgar term to describe Hillary Clinton's defeat to President Obama in the 2008 election. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program.
The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Turn it up, Ken, so I can hear it. No, I'm not supposed to talk. It's supposed to be an intro that Nikki did.
She no? Did it.
Is it on there? Is it talking now?
Yes.
I can't hear it.
It's done.
Is it all done?
She's all done.
You mean you already did it?
Yes, Nikki talked very well.
Poor Connie. She's here today playing hostess of the mostest, and I'm very gentle on her, and she's ready to kill me before I hear me. Let that slide temporarily. She doesn't want to kill me till after the show's over, because if she killed me during the middle of the show, that caused her a bigger problem, because then she'd have to finish the other half of the show, which you really don't want to do, right? Now, you know, you got to bring that microphone down. So how are you going to talk to me and people hear you on the air if you're not talking? So,
well, actually, I don't do much talking. I usually do more button pushing.
You know, guess what? You do a lot of talking when nobody's listening.
Well, that's true. That's just what Tom always says.
That's it. Well, Pastor Tom is up at a funeral for his brother-in-law.
Yes.
And who died of cancer, not quickly, unfortunately, died slowly. So he's up in Georgia, right?
Right, but the family had time together, and that's
he went up to see him before he died, which was a good thing.
Yes, they had a good Thanksgiving.
We were just talking about funerals, and because everybody in the world that we know, unless you're real, 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 real young, is knows people that have died or knows family members that have died. And I've never been a big funeral person. To me, you know, when you're dead, you're dead. And in fact, I had a client of mine not too long ago that died, and originally from Jamaica. And he had me come over to see him because he knew he was going to die. And he was kind of crying and then pretty much upset. And I said, you know, hey, look, your financial affairs are fine. Your wife's going to be fine, because he was worried, but she was going to be fine. And I said, but the problem with some of you Jamaicans, you believe in $10,000 funerals. I said, you know, that's a lot of money. That's a big party, I understand. But I said, I'll tell you what, I got a buddy of mine that'll fry you for $700, and we can have a bunch of people bring food and stuff to the house, and it'll save you a lot of money. And his wife said, what's your buddy's name?
That got her attention real quick.
Got her attention real fast. Well, you know, when I was a kid, some things stay in your head your whole life. The Aunt Edna, or whatever her name was laid out in the parlor, in the living room, in the casket, in the house. Do you ever go to one of those?
Not in a house.
But that's what they did. Back, they laid them out in the house.
I've only seen that in the movies.
The neighbors, yeah, well, I was in the movie because I was there. And the neighbors would come, and friends would come, and they'd hang out and bring food. Same thing you do pretty much today, only today they usually get somebody that's going to charge money, and you have a hall or a church or something, and then you've got to have the liner and the vault and the casket and the whole, and money, just a ton of money, and you're dead anyway. So I've just never been a monster believer in all of that kind of stuff. So I figure when you're dead, you know.
I just saw something interesting now that you mentioned that the liner and all that. There is a gentleman, and I can't even remember what the name of it was, but there's children. When children are ill and they know that they're probably not going to outlive their illness, so to speak, he designs special coffins for children, and they showed pictures of it, and the children get to design, you know, I guess put,
they get
input.
To help design.
They get to help, and the one boy got his own Batmobile, and it was the coolest looking thing.
Why not?
And that mother said that it really helped them a lot. The children were happy, and you know, I guess that's what you want to do.
Here's what happens is nobody likes the word death, but quite honestly, it's not a dirty word as far as I'm concerned. Do we have a caller? Do you think they want to talk to me?
Maybe.
We're going to find out here in a minute. By the way, you can call in and talk today. This is not what you call always a good subject, but it's a subject that does happen. Our toll-free number, anybody wants to talk on the radio, call me. I'm Joe Martek, 888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Anyway, as we get back into people dying, you know, the older you get, the more accepting I think you are of the word death. And if you're saved, you say, hey, no big deal. I'll go today, tomorrow. It's not a big deal. I've often joked about it and said, you know, if I drop dead right this minute, it's fine with me. I've done more than I ever dreamed to do. I'm ready to go. Might ruin the rest of your day, Connie, because you'd have to finish the show. And
I'd make all the phone calls.
Then you'd have to make the phone calls. Then the police would come out and say, why'd you kill him? I said, I didn't kill him. He just fell out of the chair.
I don't know. Did I bore you?
Yeah. Well, my ex-father-in-law, neat guy, but kind of a frustrated person. He lived down the street from the local pub, good Irishman. And every day he'd walk down to the local pub and he'd sit at the bar and have a beer or whatever he was drinking. And one day he just put his head on the bar and he was dead. Didn't even fall off the stool. And I thought, well, you know, Tom, you got to do that right. You got to go really fast. You know, and that's the prayer most of us make when we say, if I get a choice, let me go quick so I don't have to linger. But unfortunately, people that do linger, it's not always good. On the other hand, my mother was diagnosed with lung cancer, and the doctor says, well, we'll pump you full of chemo and radiation. You'll live for 2 more years. And she said, what if I don't do that? She said, well, you'll probably live a couple months. She said, I'll take that, because she didn't want to go through the chemo mm-hmm. and radiation to die slowly, and people that she had known, it was a miserable 2 years. So we pumped her full of every vitamin and you can name it, and she was actually doing pretty good, and she got to meet everybody, say goodbye to her whole family. In fact, the day she died, or the night before she died, she was in hospice over here, and we had kind of a family reunion in her room, and my son even brought his dog in, which is a Rottweiler, and we all got to say goodbye to Mom. Anyway, it was, and the next day she died, and it was not a pretty picture, but hospice did a really good job in making sure she didn't suffer. But as I said, it's never a good subject, but it's an inevitability, let's face it. And if you've got yourself all organized, when I meet a new prospect or suspect, one of the things I usually say when I meet him is, are you ready to die? And then there's two subjects here. One, are you ready to meet God? And two, have you done your estate planning? And an estate planning means a will or a trust, you know, so.
Well, that's, you know, I've spoken with you all about that before.
Yep.
And, you know, because I've known a few circumstances where actually someone that used to have a program up here many years ago, they explained it to me to us, you know, enough to where I had a somewhat of an understanding.
Right, right.
And it sounded, you know, I thought, well, that sounds like kind of a good idea. And then after I've had to go through some of these issues and with families,
right.
And I know people that have gone through them or are going through them or going to be going through them. And I think there's a lot of validity in finding out about that because, unless you're going to plan on getting raptured, which we don't know who and where.
If we know what day that is, we
don't
skip the will.
Right. And yeah, and a lot of people tried that and they found out they didn't have their dates accurate. But
isn't that the truth?
Right. So, but it's something you got to think about, and you got to think about, you know.
Here's what happens. And first of all, let me just explain who I am. I am not an attorney. I'm Joe Martek. I'm a financial advisor, also called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses. Give or take 10 or 12 years ago, we started doing these radio shows, and the concept was very simple. I can be a reasonably good, knowledgeable person about certain kinds of investments for people, but there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything. So if you're a credible professional, usually what you do, you find other credible professionals. And the word credible means, first, with integrity, secondly, with knowledge, and that they're competent. So if you put those three things together, makes me happy, because if I recommend a client of mine go to see a CPA or an attorney, and that person doesn't treat my client right, that can come back to haunt me. It makes me look bad to start with that I didn't do my due diligence to make sure my client got the right person. So started off doing the shows with Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and that was a big, big, big word. Those that have lived in Florida since Hurricane Andrew have watched the debacle of what's happened with homeowners insurance, with the prices going crazy, getting non-renewed by companies or or double, triple premiums. So I had to have an independent insurance agent that I felt was extremely good. And the way you can tell a good one, they're in business a long, long time, and they got a big book, and they've got a lot of companies, that counts points. And then you have to know that person personally to say, is this a person with integrity? So Dan is only 37 years in business right here in St. Lucie County. And not right here, I'm in Palm City, but that's close. And Dan's, besides being a credible professional, happens to be one of the better people you'll ever meet in your whole life. He's just a flat good guy. The next member was Greg Fasula, attorney. And Connie and I were talking about this earlier. You know, what happens is when we die, if we don't have our ducks in a row, meaning your estate planning, which means a will or a trust, the word probate comes in. And the probate period when people die can go anywhere from 5-6 months to multiple years, depending if people contest it, which can happen. You know, I mean, if you have an old will that's not been updated, or you can't find an original, all kinds of stuff can happen. And the courts get involved, and the attorneys make all the money. Now, they're earning it, because in order to pass assets from the deceased to the rightful heirs, and if there's people that don't agree with that, it's going to be some court action. And that, I think Howard Hughes, you know who that is?
Oh, I remember here.
I don't think his estate's still settled. I mean, I don't think it ever will. There's always somebody coming in saying, hey, he's my dad or my whatever, whatever.
Yeah, I think there was one guy that Howard had an accident and one night, and the guy stopped and helped him, and he actually left that guy a portion in his will, and the guy had to come back and do a little bit of, you know, courtroom stuff.
I'm still
with
saying most of that stuff is big arguments about it, because if it's not done properly, that's a big problem. Second thing is, wills can be contested, because if the person drafting the will, meaning the person who is the now deceased grantor, is what it's called, of the will, they have to be competent. So now the attorney that's drafting it is going to attest to the competency of that person to make sure that they're able, mentally able, to do that will. Now, if they're not, or if there's a, here comes contesting again, where the rightful heirs or not rightful heirs can come up and say, hey, you forced my mother or my whatever, whatever, to sign that stuff, and she had no clue what's going on. Well, that's, hey, now you've got to bring in doctors to say, are they right or wrong? So here we come into this period of time, which can go on for a long time, contesting that will. So, in fact, I just as an example, I had a client of mine. She was 82. She was on dialysis. She was a widow, no children. And she had a pretty sizable estate worth over $1 million. And she told me a year prior to this event that she was going to quit dialysis if she didn't get better in a year. And I says, well, not up to me. And she goes, I'm not asking you for permission, Joe. I'm just telling you, this is what I'm going to do. So a year goes by, she goes, okay, I quit. And obviously she's going to die, because without dialysis, she was going to die. So she goes in the hospital, and it took about a month or 3 weeks for her to die. But during that period of time, to make things even more exciting, she decided to change her entire will.
That gets very exciting.
Isn't that? And I thought, boy, this is the perfect time to do it. You're going to die in 2 or 3 weeks, and now you're changing it. So what I did was, we actually had Greg Fasula, attorney, which is the third member of our original group, go to the nursing home or the hospital where she was. And then I had a videographer, a person with a video camera that was doing it professionally, videotape her twice. And she had to, in her own mind, name every person and name by percentage exactly what they were going to get. And he had them do it on 2 separate occasions.
That's a very good idea.
Well, the whole concept was this. We figured when the relatives find out they're being cut out of a piece of the action, they wouldn't be too happy.
Oh, well, I'm sure of that.
Well, by and by, she died. And then I got a phone call from one of the relatives. And I said, hey, I'm going to send you up a copy of the videos and a copy of the trust so you can see what she did and why she did and how she did. And it was done. There was no more arguing or fighting, because it was very clear that she knew exactly what she was doing. And that was the important part, that she was competent, capable of doing it. Otherwise, it easily could have been contested, easily. So when I talk about a person doing their quote estate planning, estate, you know, your whole estate could be a pack of gum. If that's all you own, that's what you're worth, and when you die, somebody's going to get that pack of gum. But most people leave something: checking account, savings account, CDs, brokerage account, pieces of property. Many things are subject to probate. Many things are not. Let me just give you another example. So I'm down with a client of mine this week, and they're not young. They're up there in age, and they had a trust that they had drafted 1991. Now, the laws were dramatically different back then than they are today.
For a living trust?
Well, a living trust. Living trust means as long as you're alive, you can change it.
Okay.
That's called a revocable trust.
Okay.
An irrevocable trust means once it's done, it's done. You can't ever change it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's two different kinds. So living, revocable means the same thing. Well, they had a, quote, revocable trust. And when I found out about the trust, they had nothing in the trust. Now, if you don't transfer your assets to the trust is no good. In other words, let's just say I've got a bank account and it's got $100,000 in it. Let's just use that as an example. And it's in my name only. Well, if it doesn't say my name trust, it's not in the trust. It's got to be titled into the trust. Now, the living trust means I can buy and sell, do anything I want whenever I want. But basically, the living trust stays alive after I die because it says in that document, when I'm gone, I'm going to name Connie as the person that takes over. And Connie's job is to do what it says in that trust, sell everything, give it away, whatever it says in that trust, who gets it, who doesn't get it. That's what it does.
Right.
Okay. So they had this trust. And when it was done, the law way back said, if you have more than $500,000 or whatever the number was, anything over that amount would be subject to death tax, inheritance tax. And the death tax at the time was 50%. So that means if you died with $1 million, $500,000 could pass to your relatives, no tax. The next $500,000, half of it would go to the government. Isn't that exciting?
That's very exciting.
Well,
50%.
Now the law says you can pass $5.5 million, no tax. So you die with $5 million, and there's no tax. Anybody can get that money. They don't
pay. In a living trust.
No, period.
Oh, just period?
Yeah, it makes no difference.
Whether it's in a will or
makes
a trust.
Makes no difference. My estate can go, if I had $5 million and I died today and I said, Connie, it's all yours, and I put that in any document, could be a will.
I'm sitting right here. I got a pen handy, Joe.
I know, right? So bottom line is, you would pay no tax.
I didn't know that. I thought it was subject to tax.
No. Now, different states have different rules. I'm talking in Florida.
Oh, okay. Florida. Well, I know Florida's
we don't have an income tax, and we don't have a death tax. And this federal... See, what happened is originally, the original whole concept of people inheriting something was to help families. Take the family farm. Dad bought this land 80 years ago, 70 years ago, 60 years ago for $10 an acre. And he bought 1,000 acres times $10. That's what he paid for it. Now it's worth $2,500 an acre. Well, multiply that times 1,000 acres. That's a lot of money. That's way over $5 million. So the family inherits that, and they may owe $500,000 or $1 million or $2 million in taxes. So sometimes they have to sell the family farm just to pay the taxes. So very
that's
often.
That's where that saying comes from.
Well, estate planning for these people gets a little more complicated to try to avoid that tax for the family. It's legal to avoid tax. It's illegal to lie and cheat on your taxes. But the bottom line is there are ways to get money passing to different people. Well, this couple of mine, they had two different trusts made up so that if they had $1 million, $500,000 was in her name and $500,000 was in his name, they could pass this and there'd be no estate tax.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So they had two trusts. Well, by and by, they no longer own a house. All they've got is bank accounts and a brokerage account and stuff. I mean, they don't really need anything. And I said, look, go to your bank with your checking account, your savings accounts, your CDs, whatever, and just say, I need to have a TOD agreement with everything that I've got here in the bank. TOD is transfer on death. TOD, transfer on death.
Okay.
Now, what that means is if I die, and I put this transfer on death agreement at the bank, and I said, okay, I transfer on death, and Connie gets the money in that account. Connie walks in with a death certificate, says, Joe's gone, give me the money, and they will. Just that simple.
It's that simple. You don't have to go through a lawyer.
Don't go through anything, because the bank has it on record. You just have to prove that you're Connie, the one that I say. And once you prove that, they've got to give you the money. Doesn't have to. There's nothing. Now, that can be done with brokerage accounts, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. You can be done all kinds of stuff. Real estate becomes a little more difficult. Your homestead now is not subject to probate. It can pass directly to blood relatives.
Yeah, I had to deal with that some years back,
okay,
with some family issues.
But if it's not a homestead, now we have a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be much more complicated. That's where a trust really starts to come in, where a trust makes a lot of sense, because I now change the name of the trust from Joe's Real Estate to Joe's Trust Real Estate. So now I'm dead, but that I don't own that real estate. It's owned by my trust. Now, while I'm alive, I can buy it, sell it, do whatever I want, but the day I die, it's in concrete. Now it says Connie's in charge of that real estate. It doesn't say it's Connie's, but I might say that. If I do, then it is. It's Connie's, and she can change the document, go in, and it's done. You don't have to do anything. Now, most people at that point go to an attorney, and instead of 6 months or a year, it might be 2 or 3 weeks to get things done. But literally, none of these things are difficult if, of course, you know what to do. Isn't that amazing? If you know what to do, you don't ask anybody any questions. But 99% of the people don't know what to do, and most people, this is not a subject they want to learn.
What if, this is an example, I'm kind of generically bringing an example into this. If somebody has some property and they still have are holding a mortgage on it,
right,
and they pass away and they have a will that passes along to whoever the executor,
right,
is. Now, what is the executor going to have to do in that position if the property wasn't just paid off already?
Well, first of all, the executor is not the owner of the property. If it's the beneficiary, if the executor is also the beneficiary,
right,
so then that beneficiary has to either pay off that mortgage, sell the property, and pay off the mortgage. Because as most mortgages, most loans on properties have what they call a due on sale clause, meaning if that person's no longer alive, it's supposed to be paid off. Now, sometimes banks look the other way as long as you're making a payment. But the bottom line is most of them say, or they can foreclose. Okay. They legally have a right to foreclose if the owner's dead and if you don't pay it off and move it out of the name that it's in and put it into the name of whoever's supposed to have it. But if there's mortgages involved, it makes it more complicated. But, you know, most times a lender is not going to jump down your throat immediately. They might give you a period of time so that you can settle the estate. And normally an attorney might get involved at this time and talk to the bank, and they get a, you know, mm-hmm, the bank knows that the person's doing the right thing or trying to make it all happen. Again, if Greg Fasulo, attorney, was sitting right here, and he's one of the better people you'll ever meet in your whole life, this is, of course, my opinion, but I'm very, very firm on that. I've known Greg for over 20 years, and I've used lots and lots of attorneys, and I invited him many, many years ago to be a part of this group because he's trustworthy, he's a gentle person, he's a good listener, he's not arrogant, he's not pretentious, he's just a flat, only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor.
Now, if, say, somebody like me that, you know, I don't actually own any property right now, but like you said, you know, like, what if I wanted to pass my gum along to somebody?
Yeah.
But, you know, I own a few possessions.
Right.
Like, Greg could go ahead and set me up with a living trust?
Well, you don't need a trust. You just need a will.
Okay, at this point, I wouldn't need a trust. I just need a will.
No, I mean, Greg would probably. No, I'm playing attorney here, and I'm not supposed to do that.
Okay, but I'm just saying, that's basically what I would talk to him about.
Yeah, you would talk to him, and he would say, no, look, here's what happens. Let's just say you drop dead right this minute, and you've got $10,000 worth of stuff.
Okay, my stuff.
I don't care what the stuff is. Stuff. And you have kids, right?
No, I don't have any kids. I have nieces and nephews.
Okay. So what you should do is have it written down what these nieces and nephews get, and that's called a will. And it really doesn't have to go through anything because most of this stuff is just in the house. Take the stuff and go.
You know?
I mean, it's really not exactly what attorneys want you to do, but why go through the court system if everybody agrees?
So basically, I could agree to that, and they could agree to it?
Pretty much. That's just about it. You know, and it's not that big a deal. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Now, again, I'm not the attorney, and I'm not supposed to be giving advice, but I deal with this all the time, and I'm there to help people. And one of the reasons I had to have an attorney was so that he can draft these things according to Florida law today. Because the law is the law, and the law is subject to change. It's no different than having a CPA, which is also part of our group, Vince Rosino. Not only is he a CPA, he's a forensic CPA, which means he's a court-appointed, recognized expert witness. And then we got Mike Paulus, who's a mortgage broker, and mortgages are a big subject today. To have somebody that knows them that we can trust makes a big deal. And then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's probably the hardest working realtor known to man. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990, and we got a caller.
We have a caller that has a question.
It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, I have a question about case you're married, you have a house together with your husband.
Right.
So if you get divorced, so that house, like, your name is, your husband name in the top, your name in the bottom, which means your husband was primary, right?
Well, here's what happens. If you buy the house, and when you buy it and you buy it together as a husband and wife, if it says husband and wife, you both own it together, 50-50. I mean, that's just all there is to it. It's not his house. It's not your house. It's both of your houses. So now you get a divorce. You've got to agree who gets the house or if you sell the house or whatever you're going to do. It's not any one side or the other. If you don't agree, then you go to court and a judge decides what happens. But the realities of this, it's if it's owned by both of you when you buy it, it's owned by both of you until you sell it or until whatever comes along.
Yeah, but I went to courthouse and when they said a divorce, and that house belonged to me, but where we get this loan, their loan's still on his name.
Well, if he put it only in his name, the loan, which does happen, he's the one that's responsible for the loan, but the loan also encumbers the property, which means there's a mortgage on the property. So you might be the titled owner of the house, but it's subject to a lien, meaning the bank has first right, and in order for you to sell that house, you got to pay off the bank, and then whatever money's left over, you can have.
Okay. Oh, really? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anytime. Thank you for calling. Yeah, it's a situation. Whenever you title a piece of property, and you put two names on it, well, let's just take an example. Let's say Connie and I go out and buy a house.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't live together. We're not boyfriend and girlfriend. We're not married, nothing. We're now business partners, right?
Correct.
So we're going to put Connie's name as a partner and Joe's name as a partner. And I die. My half of the house goes to my estate. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting.
So now you own half a house. And then my kids come in and say, hey, Connie, we're going to sell the house and kick your butt out because we got to settle Dad's estate. And he owns half the house. Isn't this fun?
Mm-hmm.
So
I've had that fun before.
It does happen. So what happens is if you're a husband and wife, as long as you title it husband and wife, one dies, it's the other's. That's just the way the system works. But if you don't put husband and wife on there, if it just, even if we were married and we don't put the fact that we're married on there, the courts don't care about that. They're going to say, hey, I die. Half of it's subject to my estate. And what if I had children that were not by you? You know, you're the evil stepmother. They may
right.
want to sell the house regardless. So how it's titled makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think we had somebody question about that before.
Well, and it happens all the time. Like a lot of times you can buy a piece of property if you like each other and you say, hey, if I die, it's yours. If you die, it's mine. So instead of saying husband and wife on there, we put joint tenants with rights of survivorship.
Yeah, that's a
JTWROS.
Good one.
And almost everything I do, if you're married, if on like a brokerage account, we do joint tenants with rights of survivorship. So in case he dies, it's hers, or she dies, it's his, without any court action. So how things are titled and deeded makes a big difference. And sometimes attorneys make mistakes. Sometimes title companies make mistakes. And it can come back to haunt you. So literally how these things are done is very, very important. And it's not that hard to find out. You can find your deed and just see how it's titled. And if it doesn't say husband and wife on that, you just need to go down to the courthouse and change it. It doesn't cost you maybe nothing or $5 or something. But bottom line is, you want to make sure that if one of you dies, then the other one gets it. On the other hand, sometimes...
It's worthwhile $5.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you can have another document that says, hey, we own this house together, but if I die, it really was my house, but I'm putting you on it, and you can stay there until you die, and then when you die, it goes to my kids. Got it?
Right.
So there's all kinds of different things you can accomplish, and that very often happens in a second marriage or a third marriage where it's my house, but Connie weasels her way in there and says, Joe boy, I'm not going to sleep with you unless I get the house. And I say, well, okay. So then we get married and all that stuff, and we put you on that thing. But if I don't put down husband and wife on there, if we put down it in a trust, let's say, and we put down that if I die, you can stay there, then when you finally die, it would go to my estate, as it said originally, and my kids would get it, and your side would get nothing, if that's what we agreed to. If that's what we agreed to. So all of these things are normally done when we get them, but understand this. Let's say we were in our 20s or whatever when we started to do this stuff, and we're very ignorant. We just don't know what the rules are. Sometimes right. You can make mistakes, and then 40 years later, the stuff can come back to haunt you. So what it does, it pays people to get expert opinions from somebody that knows what they're doing. And by the way, any one of our group will talk to anybody on the phone and not charge them a nickel. If at some point you hire us to do work for you, that's a whole different story. Yeah.
Now I had a caller, and I think they might have been in a location where their phone dropped.
Yep.
And I had a little trouble hearing them, but you know, we were talking like about, you know, you said if I had something for my will, you know, just real simple things, it's not going to just kind of, they come in the house and get it. Well, now I think this caller, they weren't on that same subject, but they were talking about what is like the least investment they could do. Like, say if I'm starting out and I want to start an investment,
Well, there's really probably no minimum. It really depends on what they're looking to do. But I know that sometimes they can start something for as little as $500 or so. I mean, it's almost no minimum.
Now, would that be like for stocks, or would that?
Well, hey, if you can open a bank account, you can open a stock account. You can buy one share of stock.
Oh, okay. I wonder about that because I saw a company that's a very popular company now, and their stock had dropped, and I thought about it, but I didn't know you could start that low, and I think sure. Their stock is way back up there now.
Well, you know, what happens is literally there are some brokers out there that say, hey, I won't deal with anybody less than 100,000, less than a quarter of a million, whatever number they get. You know, when they get to be hot shots, they say, I only want the big clients. I've never done that. Anybody I can help, we have. In fact, I've got people that I've helped that I've not charged a nickel, and I pointed them in directions that they can do without paying anybody a commission. It really depends on what the goal is and what you want to accomplish and how I can help you. So, listen, if you want to start off with $500 and I charge a 2.5% commission, what's that, $10, $15 commission? I just soon do it for free and show you how to do it. There's a lot of things we can accomplish for people, and I'm a monster believer in what goes around comes around. So if I do good things for people, they're going to be good for me. 1-888-221-8990. That's a toll-free number. How much time we got, Connie?
Well, we're hitting about 20-minute level here, but that's usually about when people really start calling. So. You're in here today, but you have your insurance person, your mortgage person, you have your real estate person, and your lawyer that will do consultation with
CPA,
people.
CPA, everyone in our group is here to help people. Again, groups made up of Greg Fasula, attorney. The only attorney you know that I know you'd like to have is a next-door neighbor. Just a flat good guy, and he's patient. Vince Rosino, CPA. I mean, Vince has become a good friend. We probably go out to dinner once a week as a 2-3 couples and just really enjoy his company and enjoy him and his wife very much. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent. Dan's got over 80 different companies. He doesn't work for an insurance company. He works for the client, and he tries to get something that fits the client that he can get him the best possible deal in the world. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, would sit here and tell you right now that Dan has helped him get homes for people because he made the homeowner's insurance affordable. Otherwise, if it's not affordable, they can't qualify for the mortgage.
Yeah, so, there's a lot to that, because I heard him in here talking after the program, and he was talking about credit ratings and so forth, and how it used to be that had nothing to do with, you know, you worked, you went and bought a home back with our parents and our grandparents.
Well, today the rule is this. What's always been, can you afford it? Meaning, do you have the ability to make the payment? Now, there was a time there where those rules were forgotten, and that's why we went into that severe recession. But we're back to that again. Can you afford to make the payment? And you've got to pretty much prove you have enough income to pay the house payment and to pay your other expenses. So they have a ratio, what they call income to debt. So you're allowed to have, let's say you've got $1,000 a month worth of income, and you're allowed 50% of that for your mortgage. That means your mortgage and principal, taxes, insurance, and all can't be more than $500. Now it gives you $500 to live on and $500 for your house. Okay, it's pretty hard to buy a house for $500 a month, but it can be done. So the next part is a credit score. This is a relatively new thing that wasn't done so many years ago, but today they look for credit scores, and a credit score in the mid-500s can qualify for people for a mortgage today, which is not a high credit score. High credit scores go into the 800s. That means that's your perfect.
Mm-hmm.
700 is excellent. 750 is very good. But the higher the credit score, usually the better deal you get, a little better interest rate. But on the other hand, you could have an 800 credit score, but you have no income. Let's say you're retired and you're living on Social Security, and you've never missed a payment in your life, you could have a great credit score, but if all you're making is $1,500 or $2,000 a month, you can't go out and get a mortgage payment for $2,000 or $3,000 a month. You know, you've got to fit the ratio of income to debt. So that's where a person like Mike, in 15 minutes on the phone, he'll find out ahead of time how your credit is. Let's say you've got problems with the credit. He'll counsel you and show you how to get those corrected, and it might take some time, so that you can qualify for a mortgage. So very often young couples especially will go out and start looking at a house and try to buy a house to find out they can't get it financed because they've got a credit problem. Well, cure the problem first. Get the credit problem cured and then go out looking for a house. And that's where Mike Polis and Victoria Lloyd work together. Once Victoria knows what this couple can afford, then she can work it backwards and say, hey, there's different kinds of mortgages. They might qualify for the USDA mortgage. A USDA is no money down, period, not a dime.
Yeah, that sounds like a great one to go for.
It is, but you have to qualify for it again. And it's not, you know, everything has rules. Then there's FHA, is 3.5% down. Okay, it's probably a little easier to qualify. But again, there's limits to everything that goes on. If you're going to go out and buy a house for $1 million or $2 million, you might have to put 20, 30, 40% down. Because it's not what they call, it's non-conventional financing. It's not one of those Fannie Mae, which is the government agency types of mortgages. That's above the limit. So there's all kinds of rules, but there's no such thing as a person knowing all these rules unless they're in the business. One of the parts of being a financial advisor, most of these things I have experience with. When you're an old person, it's hard to get experience without age. You know, they kind of flow together.
Yeah, I'm work backwards like Victoria. She works backwards for a good purpose. I work backwards thinking, why didn't I do this?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
did I find out about this?
Well, don't
this?
You remember when we were 16, how stupid our parents were?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I absolutely remember that.
Then we got about 35 and they started getting real smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the older I get, I keep hearing their voices ringing in my ears.
Yeah,
and,
well, you know.
And other people that are in the same age group as my parents thought, I remember them saying that to me. Why didn't I do
of
what
course.
They said.
My dad said to me what I think every father says is, hey, Joe, learn from my mistakes. Uh-huh. Well, you know, kids don't listen to what their parents say because we know everything when we're 16, 18. We don't start getting, our parents don't start getting smart till we're pushing 30.
All right. Well, I started finding that out about 30. And,
yeah, that's my point.
And then I keep every decade, I find out more.
Even more. Yeah.
Even more.
Well, there's nothing new in life, folks, no matter what they say. Now, technology is new, but the mistakes people make, it just goes on generation after generation. The teenagers getting in trouble, nothing new. The father controlling the kids, nothing new. I mean, nothing's new. Keeping, you know, the old basic rules of life with church and God and family are still there. There's nothing new. It just seems like a lot of it's been forgotten or maybe pushed aside for a while, but hey, it comes back to people at some point, sometimes not good. Anyway, Joe Martek, financial advisor, if you want to talk about investing at all, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, 457s, you name it, there's tons and tons of different kinds of systems for putting money aside for retirement. There's also what's called a rollover. So let's say you work for a company and you've got a pension plan with that company and you leave the company or retire. Well, normally you can roll that out from the company and you're now in control of it. And it was called a 401k or a 457 or some other number. Now it's called an IRA, individual retirement account, which means you're in charge of it. And then you can invest that any place you want that's approved by the government, which guys like me, that's all we deal with, are things that are government approved. We don't ever use things that are not. That means you can't go buy, a hardware store with your IRA money and consider that a tax-deferred investment. And the government doesn't like that kind of stuff. They want you to put it into something that is not as volatile as a business normally. But there's all kinds of different rules. But literally, in fact, I met a young man last week from the show, and he's done a tremendous job for his family. And literally, we had to educate him a bit because he's a working person. He doesn't have time to go learn all this stuff. So a part of the first thing I do is try to educate people so that they can understand how to invest this money. I mean, it's real simple. You go to the bank pays you 0.5%, 0.25%, maybe 1% if you're lucky. Well, that's not much. When I talk to people, I say, would you be satisfied with 5% if you felt comfortable? And they'll say, well, most people say yes, because in the last year, the market didn't really make a dime, and I predicted that, by the way. And I'm predicting 2016 is going to be another flat year. So we'll have 2 years in a row that are flat, meaning, didn't go up or down, but flat. Well, in the meantime, I like certain kinds of investments, like debt instruments that are paying people 5%, sometimes as much as 6%, that are 100% liquid, and they're debt instruments rather than common stock where you are a owner of the company. And, you know, just as an example, Connie, let's say I loaned you $10,000.
Okay.
And you sign a note.
I'm very willing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know, but now you got to prove to me you can pay it.
Oh, okay. Well, that might
now
be
we
a
have
while.
Another problem. So now we've got this $10,000 debt, and you sign a note. And on the note, it says you're going to make payments every month, and you're going to pay me an interest rate. And then at a certain point, you're going to have it paid off. That's the note. Now, you'll have a note on a car. You'll have a note on a house, a mortgage. When you go buy furniture, everybody signs this note, which is an agreement to pay thing. It's a promissory note. Well, big companies have done the same thing. I mean, some of the biggest companies, household names, some of the biggest utilities have issued these, quote, debt instruments that basically are paying somewhere between 5% and 6%. And I say to people, this is a great place to park money, and you're going to earn 5% or 6%, which is a good number. And they're 100% liquid, which means you can buy it today or sell it tomorrow. So if you need to cash it in, no penalty, you can cash it in. Now, that's all the good news. Bad news is you got to pay me. Can you imagine that, me working for free?
My goodness.
I know. What a miracle, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a philanthropist. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I think you have to have money to be a philanthropist.
Yeah, I think you'd be in a high category.
Somewhere up there, you know. And the second thing is, most of these things are going to get called. Called means they have the ability to tell you to take your money and leave. Most of the call dates on what we're using today are 2 and 4 years out. So that means you could be collecting this 5% or 6% for at least the next 2, 3, or 4 years. And then the holder of that, meaning the company that is issuing that instrument, says, hey, we have the ability to tell you to take your money and leave, whether you like it or not, but I'd like to deal with ones that are out 2, 3, and 4 years. Anyway, anybody wants to get information on that, you can call the radio station anytime. Connie, I'll take your name and number, and we'll get back to you. Anybody wants to talk about mortgages or real estate or taxes? Normally, Vince Rizzino, CPA, is here, but I think he's playing Christmas.
Oh, what a fortunate fellow.
He's got that new grandbaby, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And this is their first grandbaby, so a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I got a grandbaby present for somebody, as a matter of fact. I'm not sure if I'll get it to him in time, but I got one of those.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know all about, I got a grandma's going to come and visit me tomorrow because she wants Christmas money for grandkids, and she's going to help me do a few things. So.
Well, that works. That works. All I know is that this is the time of year where families get together. Have you watched that Publix commercial about the little boy? I'm telling you, I feel guilty if I don't shop at Publix every time I see that commercial. This little boy goes across the street and there's an old lady and he drops something on the porch and you don't know what it is. Then he goes back home and mom and grandma and relatives are all getting food together, putting the turkey on the table, and there's probably 10 or 12 of them. And then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And the lady of the house goes to the door, and here's this old lady that's 90 if she's a second. And she said, somebody left this on the porch. And she opens it up, and the little boy had invited her to Christmas dinner. And I got to tell you, it just rips my heart out when I see it. And that's the end of the commercial. It's a Publix commercial. You know, Publix has done these greatest commercials in the world, I think, for families, for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Anyway, whenever I see it, I feel guilty if I drive by a Publix without stopping and spending money.
One. Well, I worry that I don't have my milk and my soda, but anyway.
I know, same thing. 1-888-221-8990.
Yeah, I had a question, Joe. We only got a couple minutes here, but what about annuities? That can kind of go.
Well, there's different kinds of annuities. Let's just talk loosely. And annuities are the contract with an insurance company. Okay.
Okay.
Why do I have such a thing? Well, if I don't take money out of it, it's tax deferred, meaning there's no taxes on the growth until I take money out.
Okay.
Number two, I die, it's not subject to probate. Doesn't go through the courts. Okay?
Okay.
It has named beneficiaries. Remember I was talking about TOD and beneficiaries, things
right,
like that?
Yeah.
So the annuity automatically does that.
Brought that up.
Three, when you take money out, it's ordinary income tax, no other kind of income tax. Okay?
Okay.
And number four, if you get sued, they can't take it away from you.
Hmm.
So
that's kind of a bargain
this
for
is,
you.
This is the reason for the annuities. Now, a lot of people think an annuity is like a pension, and it can be. Sometimes if you win the lottery, they set up a 20-year payment plan, which is an annuity, over a period of time.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that's what they were doing.
You get paid that money. Or you can take cash, which is a lot less than you'd make over the 20 years, because in the 20 years, they're going to pay you interest accumulating in it, too. So very often I consider an annuity that kind of thing like a pension. So like you retire from General Motors or pick a company and they come up to you and they say, okay, Connie, we're going to give you a check every month for the rest of your life of $1,000. But if you drop dead after your first check, nobody gets a nickel. You say, wait a minute, I don't like that. I'm married. I want my husband to keep getting money. Okay, well, then we'll give you $800 a month. And if you die, he'll keep getting $800 a month till he dies. You say, wait a minute, that's too much for him. I said, okay, fine, we'll give you $900 now while he's alive, and when you die, he'll get $600. I mean, you got all kinds of
variables on
that. You got all kinds of different wrinkles that can be put in there. Sometimes it says, give me a check every month for the rest of my life, but no less than 10 years. So you get a check every month, but you die in 1 year. Somebody would keep getting that same check for 9 more years, at least. So all kinds of different things can come in when we use that word annuity. So there's many, many different types. There's fixed annuities, there's variable annuities, there's all kinds of different stuff. And I'm not going to get into discussion on how they all work, but literally the rules are pretty simple. I put the money in an annuity. If I don't take it out, it's tax deferred. When I take it out, it's ordinary income. I die, it's not subject to probate. And I get sued, it can't be taken away from me.
Now, is that something like the caller a while ago asked about the least investment? Is that the same with an annuity?
Well, not necessarily. Most annuity companies, the insurance companies, have minimums.
Okay.
A lot of them say $10,000 or $5,000, and it depends if they call it whether it's qualified money, which means an IRA that's never been taxed, or non-qualified is something, let's say it's your own money that's sitting in the bank, and you've already paid tax on that money. Let's say you had a $10,000 CD and you put that into an annuity contract. Well, there's no tax on this $10,000 because you've already paid it. But when you take it out, let's say it's $20,000. Well, half of that money would be subject to tax because it's never been taxed. Okay? Anyway.
Okay.
The rules there's tons and tons of rules. What I try to do with anybody and everybody is when we sit down is to say, hey, what's our goal? What are we trying to accomplish? And how can we get there? I was talking to a young man last week. He's got little kids. I mean, little, three, mm-hmm. four, five, seven, eight. And he wants to have money set aside for these kids in their account. And he says, what do you think I should invest it in? And I says, you know, this is my opinion, strictly my opinion. But we've heard of the Standard & Poor's 500. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
That is 500 of America's biggest companies.
Okay.
500. And you can buy, invest in all 500 of those companies in what's called an index fund.
Okay, that's an index fund.
Yep.
Okay.
And the S&P 500 index is what they call the benchmark in the industry, and that's averaged, give or take, around 8% a year forever. So literally I'm saying, hey, if these kids are going to have this for 15 more years, why would you have it in something that earns nothing? Put it in the market, and yeah, there's going to be good years, bad years, but the odds are pretty good that over the period of 15 years between now and the time they need the money, it's going to have a pretty good growth without taking undue risk.
Now, what if somebody has someone around 12, 13 years old? What would be something for that child? Say they're in 5 years, they're going to be 18.
Well,
I mean, is it?
You obviously, if you got 5 years, you might want to go more into the 5 or 6% because you're not going to be as volatile. You may not make as much if everything goes well.
Mm-hmm.
But like say last year, right now, 2015, if you're on the S&P 500, you didn't make a dime. This year.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 3 years, you made around 20% a year. Okay.
That's pretty good.
It is. But what happens is nothing goes straight up and nothing usually goes straight down. It's got a wavy line. So what part of the line do you want to get in at? And the other side of the rule is the longer the time horizon before you want to take the money out, sometimes you can take a bit more risk or maybe a bit more risk is might be the right way to phrase it. But if you have a short time, you don't want to take risk because you're going to need that money pretty soon. So sometimes just settling on 5 or 6% is a much nicer number. And then some people say, I don't know what I'm going to do with the money. Well, then stay with the 5 or 6. And I really don't know what I'm going to do with money. Stay in the bank and make nothing. You know, I mean, literally.
Yeah. Well, what I was talking to somebody about, and we got about a minute and a half here, like what if 5 years they want to get a car?
Yeah.
They want to go to sign up at the junior college or whatever,
cash
you know.
Cash it in and go.
Okay.
I mean, literally, it's just that simple. So accounts can be set up for, they're called miners accounts.
Okay.
And they're a real, real, real good thing to do. There's all kinds of different ways. What you have to do is to look at what the goal is between the child and the parent and what they're going to do. 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time. What do you think, Connie?
Well, I have a relative, and they're really smart at their age. They're doing stuff that adults are doing, and I might talk to them about it.
There you go.
You know, because they're a smart kid, and they could be doing something before they're 18, you know, like the TV show kid used to do.
You know, I'm really impressed. You can hold that card up really well, but can you spell 30 seconds?
Well, I don't know if I can spell it.
Now we're down to 15, though.
No, I can hold it up when we get to 15, and then I got to hit the button.
All right, folks, listen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know, we will see you hopefully next week if the creek doesn't rise, et cetera, et cetera. 1-888-221-8990. Write that number down, class, and call Connie with any questions, and she'll make sure we get to you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
All right.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. Good.